This is an iHeart podcast.
Your holster is way more important than you think it is. It's just way more important than you think it is. What? Look, and I get that. The holster's not the sexy part of carrying firearms, right? You want to talk about your weapon and your ammunition. You want to talk about your safety training. You want to talk about how you did at the range. Oh, look at my groups. I was doing these failure drills today. And all that stuff's really important. I mean, really, really important. I'm not discounting that. But I've known so many people who do all those things. They take all the necessary steps, and then they carry with a holster they bought from a big box hunting store that was made 1,000 at a time. Please, don't put your life in one of those holsters. You need to trust Northwest Retention Systems because it's all custom-made gear. It's the only thing I carry around. NWRetention.com. That's NWRetention.com. Use the promo code Jesse. Gets you 10% off. We're opening up America, but the economy still stinks, and maybe we're not opening up America. I'll explain in a second. This virus, there's always been these rumors about it coming from a lab. Those might have been more than rumors. And finally, a game of basketball blessed by God himself. All that's coming up right now on I'm Right. Well, we have good news and we have bad news. Which one should I give you first? Let's give you the good news. President Trump continues to push to open this country again on May 1st. Now, he has this council, this opening up business council, which looks a little swampy. Look, I love President Trump. You know I do, but it's a lot of bankers and CEOs on there, and that's fine. I mean, I want smart, accomplished people, but the bankers are doing fine right now. It's not the bankers who are being slaughtered right now. Not yet, anyway. Let's maybe diversify just a touch. But either way, I like it that the word is changing. The narrative is changing. And as the president of the United States, no, he doesn't have the authority to point at the states and say, you will open up and you will open up. But he does. You know, his leadership matters. It matters a lot. It was his leadership that paved the way for the direction we've gone. When he started issuing federal guidelines and letting the doctors do that, it's what allowed these state governors and mayors to say, hey, we're locking everything down, so let's hope we start leading in the other direction quickly. But remember, we have a problem. You see, we have another over 5 million unemployed claim today. That takes our official number at 20 to 22 million, which means unofficially we're at 30 already. That puts our unemployment percentage at 18, 19, 20%. To put that in some frame of reference for you, the unemployment in the Great Depression didn't reach 10% until the second year. And let me clarify. Why it happened so quickly is important. You have to understand this. During a Great Depression, you're going to have parts of the economy, a run on the banks and things like that. They're going to collapse. Their bubbles are going to pop and things aren't going to work. However, you leave other parts of the economy free to move about. You leave even other parts of the parts that crashed to move about. Yes, these banks may have crashed, but we still have some banks who are okay. And they're moving money here and they're adjusting. Let me put it to you this way. Let's say you ran a hardware store. And all of a sudden, somebody walked in and said, I got really bad news. There's no more lumber. You're not allowed to sell lumber of any kind because it all disappeared. Well, if you ran one of these big hardware stores, that would be a problem, right? But you'd figure it out. Okay, well, we can sell more nails. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll jack up our advertising on the power equipment. We'll focus on rentals. You'll adjust. You've given that business some way to adjust, which is what you saw even during the Great Depression, which is what you saw during the Great Recession of 2007 to 2009. The reason we clawed our way out and the reason we didn't see unemployment numbers like this quickly is because they could adjust. Yeah, you took away their lumber. They moved it to nails. That you left things fluid. The reason we have 30 million Americans in 4 weeks unemployed is because you didn't walk into the hardware store and tell them, sorry, no more lumber. You walked into the hardware store and stuck a gun in their face and you said, put a closed sign up, you're not allowed to move anymore. Well, then you can't do anything. Then there's nothing for you to do. An economy can make adjustments for a depression. Economy can make an adjustment for a recession. Economies can make adjustments for pandemics. They've done it forever. Look, this was going to cause economic pain no matter what. If there were no lockdowns, if there were no shutdowns, people would have made adjustments to their lives. Businesses would have been forced to make adjustments to how they do things. Okay, well, we have to be safer about this here. Maybe we have to stop this. Maybe we have to adjust here. But you would have given them options to do what they do best, is make adjustments while staying afloat. We didn't do that. What we did, and understand this, what we did is something that has never been done before in the history of the world, not anywhere I can find. The closest example I can find of it is when they built a wall around Marseille in 1720 when there was a plague breakout and they actually shot anybody trying to leave. But as far as nations as a whole, nobody's done this. Nobody has ever, in the history of the world, mind you, ever even considered doing this, because it's the end. It's devastation. That's why you're seeing unemployment numbers more rapidly than you've ever seen them, and all of a sudden these people are acting shocked about it. What? How did that happen? How did that happen? You forced it. And there seems to be this weird way of thinking out there. I'll never get it. I can't count how many people have said this to me. They say things to me like, well, the economy's not shut down. Some parts of it are still open. I understand that maybe you went to a fancy Ivy League school and they taught you all about the little numbers and fractions and all that other stuff. Let me explain something to you about how the real world works. You can say to yourself, I don't even watch baseball. Who cares about baseball? I don't care that the season's closed. It's baseball. I don't even watch that. That affects you. If they were to just stop the baseball season and you're someone who doesn't care at all, it affects you. All those people who go there, spend money at all the restaurants, bars, the equipment, the 8 million different ways it affects you. An economy, a $20 trillion economy, as amazingly complicated as this is, all parts work together. So you can't do things like these morons are doing, which is deemed this business essential and this business non-essential. It's all essential. It all works together. And even if you're one of those lucky people who has not felt it yet, you're gonna. Trust me, you were gonna. You cannot point a gun at 75% of the economy and say, go home, put a closed sign on the door, without massive economic dislocation, supply chain screwed up forever. I mean, look, we have a disaster. You want to know some numbers? Here's some numbers for you. Retail sales numbers. This is by category. Here's the good news. Food and beverage is up 25% because we're all stuck at home ordering food. Merchandise up 6. Health and personal care up 4. Non-store retailers, I don't even know what that means, up 3. Building materials and gardening equipment up 1. I love that part. Everybody's stuck home with nothing else to do. Might as well put on a patio. Here's the bad news, and tell me if this sounds a little bit worse than the good news. Miscellaneous retailers down 14. Electronics and appliances down 15. Gas stations 17. Sporting goods 23. Motor vehicle and parts, you don't even know how much of your life is tied to motor vehicles and parts and the things that supply them. Oh, they're only down 25%. Food services and drinking places, 26%. Let me pause just for a brief moment. Food services and drinking places, I know what you're thinking. Well, I don't care about bars. I don't even go out to bars. I don't drink. That's fine. I'm too old for that crap too. But you understand that bars buy food, right? And that when all the bars get forced to close, they stop buying that food. When they stop buying that food, all those food producers now have excess food. They can either dump it out on the ground, they can start trying to find new, but you see what I mean, how it connects to everything? That local bar that closed that you don't care about because you don't go, just fine. It affects your grocery store. It affects your restaurants. It all connects. Oh, I'm not done. Furniture and home furnishings down 26%, and ooh-wee, for the grand finale, clothing and accessories down 50%. 50. in 4 weeks, down 50%. Oh, but don't worry. Don't worry. Some of those businesses, the ones that are down, they're non-essential.
One of our questions in evaluations is, how essential is that business service, right? You have to start somewhere. Right now we have the economy working with what are quote-unquote essential workers. That's why the grocery store is open. That's why public transit is running. All right, so we want to start to bring the economy back, move up one tranche on how you define essential. What's the next level of essential businesses? Are there certain businesses that are inherently safer or can be safer? And then let's talk about how we reopen them and where we reopen them. And these are all questions that we have to work through on a case-by-case basis. But there is a matrix. And the matrix is, how important is the business to society? How essential a service? And how risky is that business from a rate of infection? And obviously, the more essential a business, the lower the risk, the more they are a priority.
Yeah. Let me see if I understand this right. A governor, not a king, not a czar, a governor is going to decide which businesses should be allowed to open. He's going to come up with a little list. He has his charts. Well, these people can open. Oh, no, not these people. They're not allowed to open. They're not essential enough. No. No, we don't need them either. Nope, not that. You know what? They can open. That's not bad. Oh, you know what? Hold on. Let me think. They probably can't open safe enough. I'm a governor. I know all that. I'll make these decisions. Nope, they're not safe enough. They can't. These people can probably be safe. Does that creep you out? If that doesn't creep you out, you need to relearn what it means to be an American citizen. This is not Russia. This is not China. The way these people just flippantly sit up there and, well, we'll decide who's essential and who's not. Pfft, it's fine. Golly. You know what that gets you? Take a look at what this gets you. This gets you protests like we saw yesterday in Michigan, with people lined up miles down the road to protest and honk and tell their governor, let my people go. Reopen the economy. We're drowning here. Oh, but the governor, she seems super worried about it.
So we just had snow. I've got snow on the ground here in Michigan right now in Lansing. We're expecting, you know, up to 30 inches in the Upper Peninsula. The fact that we're cracking down on people traveling between homes or planting or landscaping or golfing really for a couple more weeks isn't going to meaningfully impact people's ability to do it, because the snow will do that in and of itself.
Do these people honestly hear themselves? Look, just because I won't let you travel in between your homes or even go see your parents in another home, it's snowing anyway. Stop whining. Do they hear themselves? Do you hear what we've allowed ourselves to become as Americans? I don't even have words to describe it. All of that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. You know what makes me uncomfortable? Not being able to sleep at night. Going to bed and going through the same thing you go through. You know what happens? You lay down and, all right, I'm going to get some sleep. Wait a minute. Did I remember to set the alarm? Okay, I did set the alarm. What about the kids' algebra tomorrow? Oh, that's going to be a problem. I hope I don't get furloughed at work. You know what? Can we afford insurance? I didn't remember to take the trash. You can't turn it off. And what do? You either lay there and toss and turn for hours, or you make that horrible mistake so many of us have made. You go try to find some sleeping pills. I'll just take 20 of these. I'm sure that'll work out. Or you can try EbSleep. Listen to this. It's something that it goes on your head. It's not a drug you put in your body. It goes on your head, and it provides continuous cooling to your forehead area to keep that stress down. You fall asleep faster, and you stay asleep. And if you go to tryeb.com, that's tryebb.com/Jesse, tryeb.com/Jesse, you get $25 off. TryEb.com/Jesse. Use the promo code Jesse at checkout. There's something big out there, and I'm not going to say nobody's talking about it. Wait a minute. Can I say that? I'm not going to say nobody's talking about it. I don't know if that's a double negative or not, but I'm going to read up on that tonight. Either way, I'm not going to say nobody's talking about it, but not many people are talking about the potential combat with China after all this. I know that sounds crazy, and I'm not trying to go tinfoil on my hat, but hear me out here. We know there's a bioweapons lab in Wuhan. Okay, a little suspicious. We know China lies all the time. Not exactly news. We know China said this came from a bowl of bad soup. A little weird, but still not the end of the world. We are getting a lot of feedback now, and I'm not just talking about the dark circles of the internet who are just guessing about things. We're getting a lot of feedback now about this coming from that bioweapons lab in China. And I mean, we're talking State Department reports years ago, 2-3 years ago, saying, there's a bioweapons lab here, and it's like not safe. They leave the doors unlocked. Okay, well, that's all what we know. What if this was on purpose? It's not that I'm saying it is, and I'm not. I'm certainly not. I don't know that. But what if it was? We have to at least consider that possibility, right? China is our mortal enemy. They have a bioweapons lab. We now have something from that area of the bioweapons lab that's killed 23,000 Americans and has shaved off, trillions off the U.S. economy. That's an act of war. I don't like saying that as much as you do. And look, it's not a war with China. I view as even something that's an option. War is a horrendous thing. I would never, ever, ever push for that. Look, I'm a bit of a non-interventionist anymore in my old age. But if they did it on purpose, that's an act of war. I don't know another way to put it. Where do we go from there? If that turns out to be the case, I don't know. But that's not good. President Trump says he's at least looking into the Wuhan lab thing.
Mr. President, multiple sources are telling Fox News today that the United States government now has high confidence that while the coronavirus is a naturally occurring virus, it emanated from a virology lab in Wuhan, that because of lax safety protocols, an intern was infected, who later infected her boyfriend, and then went to the wet market in Wuhan, where it began to spread. Does that correspond with what you have heard from officials?
Well, I don't want to say that, John, but I will tell you more and more we're hearing the story, and we'll see. When you say multiple sources, now there's a case where you can use the word sources, but we are doing a very thorough examination of this horrible situation that happened.
By the way, we don't do this very often on the show. And I don't know the man. He may be a saint. He may be a scumbag. But how about a little praise for Mr. John Roberts right there? You see that, media? Is everyone else paying attention? You have the president in front of you every single day. The American people want information. There's a man who actually asked a question, not some politically loaded hack question. He actually asked a question aimed at getting you more information from the president of the United States. So again, I don't know the guy. I don't even know what network he works for. But good for you, John Roberts. That was an outstanding question. So anyway, president's looking into it. You know who doesn't seem to be looking into this is the Democrat Party. And you don't see me making this whole thing political. How often have you seen me bash on Democrats over the past couple weeks? Not often, because it's not political. It's a virus. We're drowning here. It's bad. But you can't blame us for this. And surely the Democrat Party is not going to take the same line that China's using. Well, maybe they are.
And the reason that we're in the crisis that we are today is not because of anything that China did, is not because of anything the WHO did. It's because of what this president did. It's because he didn't take this virus seriously. We weren't going to be able to keep every case out of the United States, but we didn't have to have tens of thousands of people dying.
it's not because of what China did? I'm sorry, what? Look, I understand. You're Chris Murphy. You're a scumbag senator from Connecticut. Your goal in life is to try to go after Donald Trump and score cheap political points. And most of the time, I don't care. Politics is a contact sport. That's life. But is there any way you could go after Donald Trump without absolving the communist dictatorship of China from responsibility of what they did? China did do it. Yes, I can disagree with our economic decisions we've made since it got here, but China did this. That's not up for debate. And this is where the media and the Democrat Party have made a huge mistake in this whole process because they can't help themselves. Everything is not about Donald Trump. You don't have to lay down at night thinking about him and wake up in the morning thinking about him. And today's the day I'm going to get him. I'm so excited. Just let's get through the pandemic first, huh? Here's Ted Cruz.
When it comes to this Wuhan outbreak, the Chinese communist government has direct responsibility, direct culpability for silencing, for covering it up. When you had brave physician whistleblowers blowing the whistle, the Chinese government came down on them, they silenced them, they did everything they could to keep it quiet. And had they acted promptly, there may well have been a possibility this could have been contained as a regional outbreak. Instead, it became a global pandemic. And the lives lost, many of those are directly at China's doorstep. I think there needs to be direct accountability. I introduced legislation today to sanction Chinese officials that are engaged in actively censoring and silencing public health information that endangers the lives of Americans and people across the globe.
Good for President. Hopefully one day. Good for Senator Ted Cruz. Good for him. Now, who's the one person in America nobody wants to hear from? Hillary Clinton. So, of course, out she comes. Quote, the World Health Organization is on the front lines of this pandemic, providing advice, training, and equipment crucial to saving lives, including Americans. Cutting their funding is not only dangerous, Trump doesn't have the authority to do it. He should know violating spending laws got him impeached. This woman, gosh. All right, you know what? We have a hilarious basketball video still to come. We have great guests. It's just going to be an amazing show, and not just because of me. Hang on. Omega XL. I need you to remember that, because there is one thing you need to make sure. Well, I shouldn't say one thing you need. We need lots of things right now. But one thing that can absolutely help you keep from getting sick, and not just coronavirus. Let's be honest, even once coronavirus is gone, aren't you worried about it? Who doesn't worry about it? Flu, common cold, whatever it may be, you know your best equipment to fight against something like that is your own immune system. That's why Omega XL is there. It's a natural supplement that strengthens your immune system. You take care of yourself, or at least you should, so should I. Why not take care of your immune system if the worst happens? If coronavirus does knock on your door, don't you want to have the best defenses possible? There's no vaccine out there, but there is Omega XL. So go to OmegaXL.com/Jesse. Again, OmegaXL.com/Jesse, and that will get you a free bottle of it with your first order. A free bottle. OmegaXL.com/Jesse. Stop worrying about coronavirus. Start doing something about it. Joining me now, writer for the Daily Wire, Amanda Prestigiacomo. Amanda, please, before we get going on this disaster of an economy we have here in China and everything else, tell me how quarantine's going on your end. Please say it's better than on ours.
Oh, it's fantastic, because I got quarantined with my parents by accident. Of course. Only my luck. My lease was up, and then where I was moving wasn't ready yet. So I thought it would be like a quick little stop. Nope. So it's been fantastic. Me and my parents.
Well, enjoy yourself. I hope you get a sippy cup before bed tonight. Now, The economy. We now have 22 million unemployed, which everybody knows that's probably 30 million at least.
Yeah.
The poll numbers do not show that the American people are ready to get back to work. I hear only people who are ready to get back to work because I've been so loud about it. What am I to make of these numbers? Is it just a simple fact of, well, about 30% of the people are drowning and everyone else isn't, so that's the separation?
That's a huge separation for sure. And I also think some of the wording on the polling, to be quite frank, is sort of kind of obfuscates from what's going on. It's kind of like phrased like, if we lift restrictions, the surge will come or something. So it's a little, the phrasing's kind of questionable, but if you're not getting hit in the paycheck, if your life's work is not being, dwindled before your eyes, if you're getting your Trump bucks and then your $600 on top of your unemployment, or you're getting your government check still, we still have a lot of people who work for municipalities. They're not going to feel it like a small businessman would feel it, somebody in the private sector. So there is a big blind spot. We have a big blind spot in the media. And then we also just have, like you said, a lot of folks in America, they're not going to feel this right away. They will eventually. But right now it hasn't hit them yet. So that could be the disconnect.
I have a real concern, and you can tell me if I'm a nut job. I'm totally willing to accept that. I have a real concern that President Trump gets up there on May 1st and says, hey, all right, let's open up again. I'll get on the phone with the governors. And the governors, especially Democrat governors, who know they only need 51% of the vote and who are not necessarily in a hurry to recover Donald Trump's economy because we have an election coming, I think they're all going to become a bunch of resistance warriors and say, sorry, Mr. President, it's too dangerous. We're staying shut down.
Yeah, I mean, that's my state. I'm in New York right now. We just got extended already to May 15th. This is going to happen. And again, it's New York City is not upstate New York, but there's no differentiation. It's just blanket shutdown. You are non-essential. You cannot work. So you're going to see that from a ton of governors. We have Michigan. I could see her extending for a long period of time unless these protests keep up. Great people in Michigan who are speaking out. I think that's sort of what's gonna be the trigger point. So we'll have states like Texas, we'll have states that are gonna try to open up, and we're gonna see their economies doing well. We're gonna see the progress there, and you're gonna have to, that'll put pressure on other states to sort of do the same. And they're gonna run out of money. I know Governor Cuomo, for example, is complaining that he's running out of money and he wants more federal money. This is like he wants to open back up so we can get more tax dollars. So there'll be pressure points, but mainly the people need to speak up.
Speaking of more tax dollars, I saw something yesterday, and look, I can't say it surprised me because I just assume everybody out there is as horrible as I am, but I saw New York actually added 3,700 deaths to the coronavirus death rules without even testing them because they just assumed, well, they probably died from coronavirus anyway. And I have to tell you, this just occurs to me, this whole thing's become a gigantic money grab. You're never going to convince me that wasn't Cuomo saying, let's jack those numbers up and get some more taxpayer money.
Yeah, well, you get thousands of dollars per death if you associate the death with coronavirus. So there's definitely this component of, is it possible to have these numbers inflated? I mean, we had Dr. Birx herself say that we are keeping a very liberal toll of this. When we look at fatality connected to coronavirus, her own words, she said, if they have it, we book it as COVID. We book it as coronavirus. So if they test positive with it, you are going to have that death logged as coronavirus. And then on top of that, like you said, with the New York Times, we have New York, they backdated these deaths. So they were never tested. They're just assuming they were COVID. And if you read the New York Times report, it's super troubling because they're talking about these excess deaths. So you typically would have, X amount of deaths in New York City in the beginning of April, for example. That runoff death, those extra deaths, they're saying are COVID related. And what that means is that, they didn't go to the hospital or they're too scared to go to the hospital because of our COVID response. As I'm sure we have laid off tens of thousands of healthcare workers across this country because of our COVID response. We have a public health problem because of our COVID response on top of this virus. So, we're just compounding issues here.
Yes, yeah, I've been lectured endlessly that my open up the economy stance is against the public health. It's wonderful for the public health, apparently, to lay off all the doctors and nurses across America who aren't in New York City. I keep getting this word that drives me crazy, and I don't know why it's not driving more people crazy, is non-essential. Your business is non-essential. We have Cuomo. I played it in the opening of Cuomo. Say, well, we're going to have to find some more essential businesses and expand what that means. Amanda, I thought this nation went to college, and I didn't. Do people not realize every business is tied in with other businesses, even when they're not necessarily related, that it's all essential?
That's right. That's right. First of all, it's the most Orwellian thing I've ever heard, to have a government say you are non-essential and you are not allowed to work for your paycheck. Not you don't qualify for some sort of, you know, freeloading benefit. No, you're not allowed to work. You are non-essential. Church, non-essential. You know, it's we're in a different world. This is not America anymore. I don't know. It's just crazy to see what's happening, and people are kind of just, as of right now, they're most Americans are not feeling it in their pockets right now. Like you said, they will, because it's all interconnected. They're just kind of, they're panicked. They're in fear. We see a lot of anecdotal stories about COVID, and some of them have been debunked already. Some have not. So, you know, people are scared. So they're willing to kind of give up their rights and be deemed non-essential. But as we know, the lifeblood of America are small businesses. And right now, they're being shuttered. A lot of them will not open. They're not getting proper help. You know, they're getting thrown loans. Thank you. I can be indebted to you after you close me down and close off all my revenue for weeks or months at a time. So we're in real trouble. We have big consolidation of corporations. The left supposedly doesn't like corporations. We've got Amazon and Walmart and, you know, big chains now. So that's it.
I am extremely uncomfortable and extremely disappointed, to be honest. Not to sound like my father out there, but I'm extremely disappointed in how many of my fellow Americans, yes, I understand they're scared, have taken to snitching on other Americans. We have the ultimate Facebook moms groups in everybody's neighborhood. Everyone has one now, of calling the cops on a couple teenagers shooting hoops out there somewhere. Yeah. And I just, it is, it's bad. And if it's bad where I live in suburbia in Texas, I know it's bad in other parts of the country. Yeah. Has this shocked you? Not the politicians. I expect a politician to be a scumbag. That's why they're politicians. Has it shocked you watching Americans just instantly turn into little Stasis like that?
Yeah, I mean, it shocks me that a lot of conservatives have kind of jumped on board with this. I think we have...
Oh, man.
That has shocked me. I will not lie. That has really shocked me. Liberty is out the window. And it's okay to snitch on people. It's for the greater good. It's really, really troublesome. What happens is we have a media that are, you know, based in New York City, you know, if not, you know, Washington, D.C. So, you know, what's happening in New York City is not happening across the nation. So we're treating our whole country as New York City, and we're getting all these stories out of New York City. And we're getting, you know, a lot of cherry-picked anecdotes that turn out to be not even correct, right? We've had some stories about kids getting COVID, and then of course we find out, oh no, it was a home accident or what have you. This has literally happened. So people are seeing these cherry-picked stories, and because of that fear, they're willing to give everything up. Even people who have claimed to be conservative. And I'm sorry, but this is the time. Everything else, it didn't, right? You were comfy and you were fine. You can just, you know, throw your hashtags up there and, you know, take pictures with guns, and that's great. That's all well and good. But when it hits the fan, where are you?
Oh, God. Amen. Don't tell me where you are when times are good. Where are you right now? All right.
That's right.
Amanda Prestigiacomo, as everybody may imagine, is not, well, she's Italian, let's be honest. And for everything else that comes with that, that also means she can probably cook one heck of a meal. And I know we have so many viewers because they write me and they say they're tired of eating at home and they're out of meal ideas. Give me one.
Okay, so I don't know if this is fully Italian. I think my family does it, but I think it's like a regional thing. Like upstate New York, we have it with a lot of Italian people. Chicken French. So you can do that. This is really good. Just look up a recipe online, because I'll probably butcher it if I can't remember correctly. But you just kind of bread the chicken breast. You can pound it if you want, so it's a little thinner. Bread the chicken breast in flour and then egg. Fry it up in some olive oil in a pan. Then throw it in like a big baking casserole with sherry, lemon juice, chicken broth, and bake it. And it's so, so, so good. Put some lemon on top. Chicken French. Look it up.
I've never even heard of that before. That sounds phenomenal. Thank you.
Really good.
Amanda, of everything else you said, that's my favorite thing. Amanda Prestigiacomo, thank you much.
Thanks.
All right. We have a, well, we got a lot more good show for you. Hang on. Joining me now to talk about Iran and China and Russia and everything else underneath the sun is the president of the Security Studies Group and former Green Beret himself, Jim Hansen, the man with the smoking jacket. Jim, what's Iran doing riding their little marlin fishing boats up to our Navy vessels?
They are attempting to get themselves turned into oil slicks in the Persian Gulf, brother. That's what they're trying to do. They figure maybe we don't need that kind of hassle now, but I think they forget we can multitask. You try that one more time, and one of the guys in the video noticed they had their 50 cals unpinned. So that guy was free gunning with that 50 cal he had on the bow of that thing. You can't do that more than once in a short period of time to the U.S. Navy. So I think Trump may need a good reason to make the crews in the Navy feel good, too. So he may let them splash a couple of those, turn them into flotsam and jetsam.
All right, let's do a completely fake scenario, but one that's not totally out of the realm of possibility. Let's say Iran, they got a bunch of people dying from coronavirus, which allegedly they do. I'm assuming they do. They clearly do not have our medical facilities. It's not a third world dump, but it ain't that far off. So they can't treat people like we can. What if you're the Ayatollah? You want to try to prevent some civil unrest, which they were on the edge of anyway, and you figure, what better way to foment a little nationalism than take a pot shot at a Navy ship? What if they do? We smoke one out of the water. What does Iran do? What can Iran do when they're devastated right now?
Not a lot. That's the thing. Now, asymmetrically, they can cause us trouble. All right, they can be a thorn in our side. But remember a couple things. They are dead broke. They're not just broke as a country because of corona. They're broke economically, broke financially. The only people with any money left are their leadership, and all that money's in foreign bank accounts. So if we actually cut them off from the last couple of banks that do business with them, that country would collapse. It would be cruel to do it right now, but that's why they got to kind of watch themselves. So I think you're right that what they're doing is they're doing a little saber rattling because they want to go ahead and distract, you know, their folks at home who are suffering. They have no food, they have no medicine, and everybody's dying. So it's a good time to go ahead and mess with the great Satan, you know, and get everybody's mind off the Rona. But you got to be a little bit careful because you step one step too far, and we will splash one of those things. We owe them for that drone still.
Jim, you can call me Genghis Khan all you want, but I belong to the William Tecumseh Sherman school of thought that war should be miserable and fast and violent that way that it is the most merciful thing you can do rather than prolong the suffering. Tell me why, oh why, we shouldn't cut them off and just implode the whole daggone thing right now. Aren't we all better off in the long run?
Yeah, but I'm not sure in the midst of this mess we'd come out with what we want on the other side. So I think, yes, I've always been a fan of regime change. All right, there will be no peace, justice, happiness, or anything for Iran or the region until the mullahs are gone. But if the U.S. perpetrates that in a way that the rest of the world can say, hey, that was a U.S. operation, it's not going to work as well. First of all, the people won't sign on because they don't like us all that much more. They hate the mullahs. They're not big fans of us. So what we want is to help hurt the mullahs enough that they are, I guess, easier to topple, and the people inside can rise up and get them. Maybe after the Rona, they'll have, you know, the ability then to go ahead and say, okay, we've had enough of this. You guys blew this too. It's time.
Jim, a country I find fascinating. I've always found them fascinating. I mean, especially when you dig into the World War I stuff, Russian Revolution stuff, World War II, all this is Russia itself. Obviously our sworn enemy, still our enemy. But people view Russia as being, you know, 1960 Russia, and they're not 1960 Russia. They have an economy the size of Texas, right? What is Russia? Are they resource rich? Are they people rich? Are they just overall a bunch of painted rust? What are they?
They are a criminal kleptocracy. I think would be the best way to describe them. It's the largest criminal syndicate on the planet. Putin's the capital. So he runs everything. Everybody has to pay to play. You know, I mean, it's like New Jersey writ large, if you want to go there. And Putin's Tony Soprano. You know, but he gets a piece of everything, and anyone who wants to do anything does that. But you're absolutely right that they are not a superpower. Now, they got nukes. That puts you at the top of the not a superpower list. But it also means you are not what they were back in the day when they had an actual empire. So again, they can cause a lot of trouble. Now they have energy. Europe needs energy. So the Europeans are scared of them. Trump is basically one of those guys who says, if there's another tough guy who can cause me trouble, I'd rather make a deal with him than have to fight him. All right. So he wants to find a way to coexist with Putin rather than go head to head. But we're in a very advantageous position. And they're just like China, they're lying through their noses about how many Rona cases they have, too. So I think there's an opportunity coming out of this to put the screws to a bunch of our enemies, Iran, China, Russia, top of my list, too.
What? Why are they painted rust? I understand that they're, you know, criminal run, basically, the way you said. But I I went to community college. And I look on a map and I see by far the biggest country on earth. Surely there's all kinds of natural resources and things in there. Why are they not just bathing in gold?
Because there's a lot of them and there aren't that many resources. They do. They've got energy, they got oil, they got gold, they got a lot of stuff. They got a lot of the other mid-level mineral type stuff that they can, you know, extract and sell. But what they don't have is enough of an economy and a massively modern industrial economy that can use those resources to turn it into a self-sustaining operation. They just keep, you know, digging stuff out, selling it, and using it poorly. So I don't think they're ever going to, you know, come out of that. That's why, again, they're another one of those countries, like the saber-rattling Iranians. They have to go ahead and push people around and do a little expansionism to keep their people under control, too. They got to have external enemies and all that. So I worry about them a little bit. But all in all, we can deal with the Russians. And that's one of those cases where we're probably better off squeezing them a bit economically and then gouging them for a good deal. Trump loves that.
What's the Japan-China relationship? I had someone explain to me one time that that's a real big brother, little brother relationship always, with China obviously being the big brother, Japan being the little brother. Clearly, I don't have to elaborate to you, there have been a bit of tension in the past between the two, and they don't get along all that well now. But where do they stand? Do they still work together? Are they mortal enemies? What are they now?
They are frenemies, I think would be a good way to put them. You know, the Japanese don't like them, but the Japanese don't like anybody. You know, that is one of the most exclusionary societies you ever want to run into. So they have a love-hate relationship with them. You know, there's obviously all the stuff they do as far as trade, but the Japanese are constantly worried because China wants to be an expeditionary military, wants to be an expeditionary country, and continues to push people around in their area, you know, in their neighborhood. They're constantly building islands, claiming more territory, harassing fishing boats and stuff like that. And the Japanese don't like it. And I got to be honest with you, in a scrap, the Japanese could hold up for a while, long enough for us to get there against the Chinese, because their gear is good and China's is not. So I think it's a case where they'll play nice with them because they have to, but they don't like them all that much.
What's our solution to all these intermediate range missiles that China has that we can't penetrate with our carrier groups?
There isn't one. I mean, everybody wants to play like there's a solution to the nukes and there's a solution. Some things there aren't any good solutions to. You just deal with
okay.
it. So in this case, you know, that's what mutually assured destruction was all about. You know, whatever they think they do one thing too much and we turn the entire thing into a giant radioactive parking lot. They can do the same. Nobody really wants that. Consequently, all of the steps below that, you know, the bad things that could happen kind of get left on the table because you don't want to push the other guy over the line. So in a lot of ways, having that kind of crazy stuff makes us safer.
All right. It works for me. Jim Hansen, don't you always get the best stuff from Jim Hansen, president of the Security Studies Group, former Green Beret. I appreciate you, man, and your smoking jacket.
Good to be with you, brother.
All right. We got more. Hang on. We're all craving sports again. I realize that. So I have found some hoops for you. Kick back and enjoy. I've got, you know, look, I'm happy to see the Nuns playing basketball. It does me fine. But look, I've got a couple major issues with that video. One, where is the defense? What kind of zone defense are we playing? You don't put three people down by the baseline and just spread out. They had that one Nun in the white shooting in the paint all day long. Two, there's nothing worse when you're playing hoops than to have half your teammates just cherry picking and running down to the other end of the floor and staying there so you can do all the work on defense, get all the rebounds, and then throw it down to them. Let's D up, ladies. Get down. Move your feet. Come on now. We'll do it one more time this week tomorrow. I'll see you then. Newton Group Transfer. They are here to help you if you're stuck in a timeshare. These stories from people who have these timeshares and can't get out of them, they're shocking. These timeshare companies, not all of them, but so many, they get their hooks into you and you can't give them up. You can't give them up. Or they'll do things like they charge you thousands of dollars. One girl, she got past her timeshare when her mother passed away. She gets past the timeshare, doesn't want the timeshare, doesn't use the timeshare. They tell her she can get out of it for $4,000. She has to come up with a $4,000 check. This is not right. It's unjust. And Newton Group Transfers is here to help you. If you are in a timeshare and want out or know someone who is, call 888-845-3773. That's 888-84-JESSE, or go to timesharejesse.com. Newton Group Transfer. They will help you out.
This is an iHeart podcast.